chosen one. Donald Trump had some interesting things to say this week about Greenland and Jewish voters. Meanwhile, the world teeters on the brink of a global recession. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Greenland. I wasn't sure if we were going to even talk about this one. I thought it was a bit too much of a G-up. But now, not only has Donald Trump floated the idea of buying the self-governing country of Greenland, its resources and its 56,000 civilians, he's cancelled a visit to Denmark, of which Greenland is part, because of its refusal to sell. Ed, what is happening?
Well, he doesn't know slavery was abolished. You don't buy citizens anymore. Nor do you buy countries anymore. Oh, well, let's put the Chinese aside. But this was patent nonsense. Maybe he didn't want to do the state visit to Denmark. No one's proposed this. It would certainly be a bad flank for America. Hawaii is bad enough sitting out there in the middle of the Pacific. Another country sitting out there in the middle of the Atlantic would be totally ridiculous. Furthermore, climate change, Greenland is a total liability with its ice cap melting. So what's Mr. Trump up to? Do you know? Nobody else seems to know.
And again, I don't want to talk about every stupid thing Trump tweets or says.
Well, then you got nothing to talk about.
Well, we try to fix on the issues, but this week, any Jewish people that vote for a Democrat, I think it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty. I don't think it's going to win over many liberal Jewish voters, but it does worry me how short of a line there might be between disloyal Jews to bad Jews to Untermensch.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, this sounds like something out of the 1930s in Germany. The Jews who you don't like are a liability, and therefore something has to happen to them. And those that you do like become your wedge with the other voters. Too Hitler-like for me. It's disgusting. And to think it came out of his mouth is the disaster he is, unfortunately. It's fantastic.
I mean, first Trump came for the Mexicans, and I did not speak out because I was not a Mexican. Then Trump came for the blacks, but I did not speak out. We're not going down this road, surely.
Oh, well, we're going down every road we can. Remember, his numbers are actually plummeting. What he has to worry about is beating himself, not beating the Democrat. Because if the Democrat does nothing, the Democrat wins. He has to have a positive agenda. And speaking of positive agendas, the guns rights people are out again, even after 40 people were massacred. How can you do that? Just the little thing that he said he was going to do is improve background checks. That's gone.
Mm.
What is he going to do to stop this Holocaust in America? People with guns. Sure, if these people are insane, let them carry knives. Let them carry something else, but not guns. For my goodness, this is too much.
Obviously, we're going to have plenty more to talk about, I think, in the lead up to 2020, as you mentioned there. First, though, this week, economic news. We still appear to be teetering on the brink of a global recession as, the U.S. and China slug things out. Anything new?
Well, really, the Chinese economy was slowing, and that was causing the recession anyway, in spite of the embargoes, in spite of the trade wars and this and that. The slowing of the Chinese economy has a lot to do with demographics. There just aren't that many middle-class people anymore, and they all have a garage full of Chinese products. Who are you going to produce for? You have to start producing for the Chinese people, and the Chinese economy isn't growing fast enough to produce the middle class they need. And what's even worse is the European economy is going backward demographically. So the Chinese are both our hope and salvation, but our biggest problem. And when they slow down, America slows down. When America slows down, so does the world.
And Trump earlier this week wanted to introduce a payroll tax cut, I should say, to help fight off the recession against Republican wishes, as it would take another significant chunk out of government revenue. Has now walked that one back. I don't know if the uncertainty helps the economy at all, but would cutting out payroll tax be a wise move to give the U.S. economy some juice?
Well, for those people who don't know what the payroll tax is in the United States, it's really Social Security and Medicare. And that's how Obamacare is funded, and that's how America's weak retirement program is funded. It's really the pension plan for American citizens, and it's based on how much you contribute to it. There's a cap, but every American citizen's entitled to it. So when you start talking about lowering it, that means lowering the retirement. If you lower the retirement, that means people have to work longer to have the same amount of money in the kitty. Or the government has to take more out of its revenues for that. If the revenues aren't coming in, you don't get them out. Now, since this is only about 7 to 9% coming out of everyone's check, taking 3 or 4% out of it would mean you'd have to add the equivalent amount to that gigantic deficit. And as that deficit goes down, it keeps spiraling. It doesn't go down incrementally. It's now going down geometrically. So adding 1% sends the budget down maybe 6%. So this was a bad idea from the start. It sounds like Miller or one of his brainless proteges. He has no one in the White House now. He doesn't have a spokesperson. He doesn't have an advisor. And he doesn't have even a White House leader. The man who runs the budget is running the White House. Surely the budget requires more attention than once a day.
And just briefly, Trump has been pushing this week for Russia to be readmitted to the G7, making it a nice, even G8 again, and found some support in French President Emmanuel Macron. Any thoughts?
Well, I think leaving them out is now becoming a problem. Because when they're left out of these discussions, you can't rely on them for some other discussions you need them for, like Syria. And there is no better way than making them part of the bigger issue. I think this one actually is a Trump idea, but I'm supportive of this idea. But I'd bring them back with very strong protocols that required them to do certain things, including admitting shooting down that plane over Russia and the Ukraine. I think they've got to be at least contrite, if nothing else. As you know, I was just in Russia, and things aren't terrible, but they're bad.
And on the Mexican border, the Trump administration is proposing indefinite detention for migrant families entering the country illegally to replace the 20-day limit for holding children. Now, this is a supposed deterrent, although you'd have to say, look, regardless of dealing with the issue itself, they're having enough trouble holding on to the ones they've already got in detention.
You said it, mate. Look, the prisons are already full. The detention centers are already full. Adding more women and children to it doesn't make any sense. But furthermore, if you're coming from some of the countries, Honduras, etc., and getting three meals a day, which you didn't get at home, why not a U.S. detention center? I'd love that. That is not a deterrent. And 60 days, 90 days in that center to be sent back to Mexico or your home country, not a bad vacation.
And just before we move on to our Dem candidate of the week, I mean, turning our eyes across the pond as we do from time to time, Boris Johnson is trying now to deal with the Brexit fallout, something he was obviously very happy to take on, and is almost trying to do a little very, very small victory lap this week because of conversations he's had in Germany. What's going on?
Don't stand on the victory stand before you run the race. What he's doing is this. Pretty simple. He's going over to talk to figures who are big in this. France and Germany, trying to get the concession from them, two unilateral concessions. The French and Germans have to go back to the rest of the Europeans, who he has shit on. So how's this going to work? Please tell me. But if it fails, he can now say, look, I did my damnedest, and the French and the Germans didn't stand up for us, and any pain we're suffering now, blame it on them. This is another kind of Hitlerist thing. Now they're French and German people. Ferners.
Look, this week, our 2020 Democratic candidate in the spotlight is the rootin' tootin' Texas rep, Beto O'Rourke. Beto got off to a strong start in the race, but he seems to have hit a little bit of a stall. Where is he now?
Well, Beto has lost traction. He and the mayor from South Bend are about the same. People like him. They seem charming, but there's not enough guts there. There's not enough energy there. Somehow when you know, somebody who's really good on the small stage, I remember going to hear Eartha Kitt, great singer, and she was just wonderful in a small nightclub and things like this. Not bad on the record. But when she got into a big stadium, wow, couldn't make it.
Mm.
So I think he just can't play on this big, big, big stage. Well, what can happen to Beto? Now, let's remember where he started from. He was a member of the House of Representatives, a couple terms there. He saw the opportunity to run against the most disliked senator in the entire Senate. And he took him on. And he didn't expect Trump to even support him. What he really didn't expect is how many people would come to his aid. He raised $30, $40 million overnight out of chump change, $1 here, another dollar there. So he is a money machine. But he needs an enemy. He needs the big bad wolf, because by himself, he sounds good. But unless there's a challenger there, there's no place for him to deflect from. What has he done? Well, he's going after the gun issue big time, and so are some other Democrats. But I think he's a little more plausible here. The guns were in El Paso. What he had to say about it made eminently good sense to a lot of people. So Beto is down, but don't count him out. I think he has tremendous capacity to raise money, not just in Texas, but across the country. And if he's with the right candidate, and this is going to take a lot of looking at, I think a woman will be the vice presidential candidate on both tickets. But if he's with the right candidate, a fire in the belly kind, a person who needs fire in the belly, and Joe sounds like that kind of person, he could be the fire in the belly. He could be the person that rallies the troops while Joe stays the statesman. So I think Beto has a real chance. And remember another thing. He's been through a big, tough campaign. Most of the other senators didn't have such campaigns. And the ones on our list won very easily in their own states with heavy Democratic votes. Beto might pull in some votes from some other states. Don't count him out.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Help support the work we do by going to 2SER.com/support. Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.